Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. Got a couple of texts about those college football segments we did at 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. Texter said, Rob, I think canceling Miami was more about 2027 from Carolina's perspective. There were four non-conference games on the schedule that year, and I guess it made more sense to keep a W on the schedule against Furman than the trip to Miami. The other 2027 game is App State at home, for what it is worth. No, I don't think that's incorrect. In fact, I think it is actually correct, but that's kind of the point, right? Like, Miami, South Carolina, I don't know, maybe it's just exciting to me. Maybe you guys would not have been geeked up. I think that would have been a very interesting contest, considering both of these teams would have been trying to discover what their post-Carson Beck, post-Lenora Sellers identity would be, what their standing was in the football community after the quarterbacks carrying them to good seasons this year were both off to the National Football League. And when they would rather have, with all due respect to our very dear friends at Furman, when they would rather have a home game against Furman than a away game at Miami, it absolutely makes sense to the school. You keep a dub on the schedule, right? It's going to cost you more money because you're going to pay Furman to come to your crib. That's how those football teams stay alive. But you're going to cost yourself money, but you keep a dub on the schedule as opposed to giving the college football landscape, which would have been a dramatically more interesting game. That's basically what it comes down to. You keep a dub on the schedule at the expense of all of us going week two, South Carolina at Miami. How many narratives, how many storylines are going to be involved in that game in 2 years when it happens? All right. We'll circle back around to that later on in the radio program. In the meantime, keep those texts coming, 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. You can use that same number to call the show and get on the air this AM. South Carolina fans, your thoughts on the decision by the two schools mutually, according to the Carolina press release, to cancel that home-and-home. Also, your thoughts, whether you are an Auburn fan or just a college football fan, your reaction to Auburn moving their home of a home-and-home against Baylor out of Opelika, Alabama, and up to Atlanta, Georgia, in order to maximize NIL possibilities for their football players. We've talked about both of those at length. I will turn the conversation and the discussion over to you. 844-326-3663. Tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Everybody up in here at the Fan Upstate want to hear what you have to say about all of that. Now, let's get some National Football League in here for just a minute, because we have not gotten there as of yet. Jacksonville, 31-28 winners over the Kansas City Chiefs last night. And just like that, the Jags find themselves tied with the Bills and, like we all expected, the Colts at 4-1 atop the AFC leaderboard. The Bills leaders in the East by a game over the Patriots. However, of course, the Patriots did beat the Bills in Buffalo, and Buffalo will have to return the favor later on in the season. The Dolphins 1-4, the Jets 0-5 in that division. In the AFC North, it is the Pittsburgh Steelers who find themselves atop the division at 3-1. They were idle this past week on the bye, so they have played only four games. Cincinnati is 2-3. Baltimore and Cleveland both 1-4. Indy, as we mentioned, tied with the Jags, both atop the AFC South at 4-1. The Texans 2-3. The Titans 1-4. The Chargers and Broncos are tied atop the West at 3-2. The Chiefs 2-3. The Raiders are 1-4 through their first five games. The AFC's bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S, as it stands right now. Lonzo asked earlier in the show, what are the current AFC championship betting odds? And I have them for you here. Zero shock, I think, to anyone to learn right now that the Buffalo Bills are the favorite in the AFC. They are plus 200 to win the conference. That is what we in the gambling world would say. Not a great bet. Not a great bet because it's not a lot of return on interest for a bet that could go very wrong in just one moment. If what happens to Lamar happens to Josh Allen, that takes a tank. The second shortest odds in the AFC. Now, great one. With the standings I just gave you, Bills, Colts, Jags all at 4-1. The Patriots 3-2. The Broncos 3-2. The Ravens 1-4. The Chiefs 2-3 in third place in that division. As of today, before I tell you, who would you guess has the second shortest odds to win the AFC as of this morning after last night's results?
See, you set me up with things.
No, no, I'm
to
just
make me
the standings.
Think it's going a certain way, and Jacksonville.
It's actually the Kansas City Chiefs.
See, that's what I was going to do, but I knew as soon as I did that, I would. Yeah, just it's your trick questions. You are masterful at them.
5-1 are the Chiefs. It is the Chargers with the third shortest odds at 8-1, then you find the Colts at 8.5-1. The Broncos.
How many more losses by the Chiefs would it take before they drop out of that as far as Vegas goes?
I mean, if you
saw the game, you know it, which has this year, as I mentioned earlier, it's come down to a couple plays, and that's why they've lost. It's been that way with just about every game. That's how it was the last couple years, but the ball bounced their way. It hasn't. You know, this year. So, I
wouldn't disagree, but I would also...
They didn't get their butts beat by Jacksonville.
No, they didn't. But again, like, I would
there are things they could have done. Played a little better defense. Put a little more effort into it. Not make stupid mistakes. And you should have won that game. So,
I would make the argument that...
I mean, you let Trevor Lawrence come back and win the game. Trevor Lawrence. We're talking about the king of mid. You let that guy do that. So this is one of those cases where it's not that Jacksonville beat Kansas City. It's that Kansas City beat themselves, and they'll get it right. And Jacksonville will fade like they always do, back to the middle of the pack. Vegas knows it. I know it. I think secretly you know it. You're enjoying the fact that you were right so far. But they're gonna dwindle, and they're going to fade like they always do.
Well, first off, in order to fade— you must have something to fade. The Jags have had nothing to fade in a very long time.
Well, they have they're 4-1 or something.
Correct.
Right?
But
right?
You're
so
saying
you can
wait,
fade.
No. You said like they always do.
Yeah.
No, they don't always do because they've never had a reason to fade. You have to be up to be down. They've just always been down. Now they're not down. Now they are up.
They haven't always been down. They've had winning records.
Don't yeah. Like when Mark Brunell was there.
No, that's not true. They're the high to mid. Again, like I said, and Trevor Lawrence had them in the playoffs before. So you can't get to the playoffs if you have a losing record.
All right. So
unless you're in the NFC South.
Here is
then it's acceptable.
Here is the thought process that I'm having about this conference right now. To finish up that list, just because I was curious, the Broncos are 9.5-1. Here's why I say that the AFC is drunk. Because the Broncos are plus 950, 9.5 to 1. The Ravens are 10 to 1. The Ravens are 1-4. They are 10 to 1 to win the AFC. The Jags are 4-1. They are 11-1 to win the AFC. Like, I don't care if you call them the Kings of Mid or say that Trevor Lawrence is going to be whatever, and that's all well and good. This team at 4-1, now with a win over the Chiefs, has longer odds than the 1-4 Ravens, who are going to be without Lamar probably for at least another week, maybe two. I don't know what is happening.
They haven't convinced the moneymakers in Vegas. That's all. A couple more victories that could change. I mean, it can change really quick, right?
Sure. But again, like where they stand right now, just for the sake of it, we mentioned a little earlier the Chiefs schedule, which does not get easier. Here's the Jags schedule for the next five. Next week, they are at home against the Seahawks. Now, in fairness, the Seahawks are playing pretty good football right now.
They are.
Seahawks are playing pretty good football. Sam Darnold's playing pretty good football. But I'm not ready to say like the Seahawks are anywhere near the top of the NFC. Like they're above average overall. I think that if they can beat the Chiefs at the crib, I think that's a winnable game. Then they've got the Rams coming to the crib 7 days after that. Scratch that. That is not coming to the crib. That is a London game. The Jags on the road.
Which is a home game for the Jags.
Which is a home game for the Jags, or at least it will be sometime in the next probably 10 years or so. The Jags are in London taking on the Rams. The weekend after that, they have a week off after the London game. Then on November 2nd, they fly cross country to take on the Raiders. The week after that, they are at home. They're on the road against the Texans, and then it's back for the Chargers.
I mean, you can look at it and say that they have an easy schedule for the next few weeks, maybe?
I don't think it's easy, but I do think every one of them is a winnable game. I'm not saying they will win
every
one of them.
It's an easier schedule than what some other
It's an easier
teams
game
have.
Than the Chiefs have.
Yeah.
Or easier five game than the Chiefs have, without a doubt. So I guess the point that I'm making here is the AFC, as far as parity goes, is about as good as we have seen it in a very long time. On the flip side, and again, I know that with the Ravens being 11-1 behind the Broncos and the Colts, it's kind of screwy, but like I do think to some degree it is taking some time to convince a lot of people. And keep in mind, like, yes, the Vegas odds makers are setting odds on to some degree what they think is going to happen, but with futures like an AFC championship winner, for instance, these odds are much more than they are on a week-to-week basis with lines and sides in regular season games, where the line will drop like Sunday night a week before the game, and it's a week to lead up. These odds also have to incorporate the amount of money that were bet on these teams dating back to the end of last year, right? Because when the Super Bowl happens last year, within a week or two, Vegas releases the futures for the next year. Like within a week or two, once the free agent market opens up, they open the odds. And then they will shift a bit after the draft, and they will shift a bit after free agency, and they will shift a bit after spring. But there have been people betting on the Bills, the Chiefs, whoever, to win the AFC dating back to March and April of this year. So those odds are somewhat reflective of that.
If you had to pay $1,000 of your money right now, would you pick the Jaguars to win the AFC?
I would split that money up.
Don't change the rules.
I'm not changing the rules. You gave me $1,000. You didn't say I have to make a bet. Do I have to make one bet?
Wow.
Okay. I have to put it on one team. I'm asking you the question, the rules to your game. Do I have to put it on one team?
Yes.
Okay. If I had to put a grand down on one team out of the AFC to win this division right now, taking into consideration value, I think the Bills are winning the AFC this year. I think the run of close but no cigar is going to end this year. I think the Bills are a good team this year. And more importantly, I just think the rest of the AFC is taking a step back. And I would make the argument that the one team in the AFC that has not taken a step back is Buffalo. But
so you're confident after Buffalo lost last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Because when we were doing our preseason,
who did they lose to?
We were doing our preseason prognostications,
stop getting mad.
Who I'm not getting mad because the Patriots. But that is a team that as I did with the Jags, what did I say about this team before the year started? This is not a bad football team. It's not a joke of a team. I think that some people fall prey to the narrative and don't actually evaluate what is happening. We both love the hiring of Mike Vrabel in New England. We both saw what Drake May did last year with less talent. He didn't have Stephon Diggs last year. We saw what they did with less talent last year. They got more talent. They spent their first-round draft pick on a left tackle so that Drake May wasn't running for his gosh darn life every time he snapped the football. Everything the Patriots did this offseason made them better. I am not shocked by, nor am I having my image of the Bills ruined by a loss to a team that I said might be the biggest improvement in this year outside of Jacksonville. What I would say right now is, if you ask me to put $1,000 on a single team to win the AFC, I would say, if you just ask me as of today who is winning the AFC, it is the Buffalo Bills as of right now. Because I also think if you go look at the last 2 weeks, New England and New Orleans, the Bills did not play the same football they played in weeks 1, 2, and 3. And I think they saw the Chiefs take a step back. I think they saw the Ravens take a step back. I think they saw a lot of the rest of the AFC traditional contenders take a step back. And I think they pulled back the throttle, because one of the big problems that has hampered Buffalo the last few years is they keep stumbling into the playoffs, missing two or three big names due to injury. I think they throttled back, like, let's be as fresh as we can for as long as we can. And now that they took that loss to New England and were in 3.5 quarters worth of a very tight game with New Orleans 2 weeks ago, I think that Buffalo has got to, I think Buffalo's got to start to throttle it back up. But if you're asking me from a betting market, 2-1 is not a bet I'm putting for an AFC title winner. It's just there's not value there, because all it takes is Josh Allen to pop an ACL and that bet's washed, right? So I would say that based on the numbers, it's obviously not Baltimore at this point. Good win for Bo Nix handing the Eagles their first L. But I think that L has been kind of brewing for Philadelphia the last couple of weeks, right? Like I think they got in over their head, getting away from being the team that got to 4-0, because we had A.J. Brown and we had Devontae Smith, who apparently were, at least within their inner circles, expressing displeasure for their role or lack of a role in the Eagles' offense. So what did the Eagles do this past weekend? Oh, we're an aerial team now. No, you're not. Saquon Barkley ran the ball 6 times. A guy who last year we had on 2K watch. Can he get to 2,000 yards? A guy that was a threat for 2K yards last year got the ball 6 times against Denver. Like, I think Nick Sirianni made a mistake and tried to coach his team into becoming an aerial team, and Bo Nix capitalized on that. I think the Broncos are a good team. Do I think that they are AFC contender good? I mean, contender, sure. Do I think they're in the mix? Not really. So I got to tell you, looking at the shortest odds teams, can I take the Chargers right now? Amarian Hampton just went on the IL. The Chargers went from one of the hottest teams in football to open the year to 2 losses in a row to disappointing L's. Is this just a mild setback for the Chargers? I don't know. I think their identity isn't what we thought it was going to be. Is it Danny Dimes and the Colts at 8.5-1? Like, maybe. They've got the skill talent to get there. Do they have the defense to get there? I don't know. The point here I'm making is, of the teams that are less than 20-1, because everybody else is 20-1 or longer, of the teams that are 11-1 and shorter, after what we've seen the last 2 weeks, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are as good of a bet as anybody else based on their value. I do think the Bills are winning the AFC. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do the same thing for the NFC. Let's check in on what those championship odds are and how they've changed over the season. That's next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We took a look at the AFC leaderboard just a moment ago. Now let's do the same for the NFC. Every division has a 4-1 team in it right now. The Philadelphia Eagles are 4-1 out of the East. The North contains the 4-1 Detroit Lions. The NFC South has a 4-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the San Francisco 49ers are 4-1 out West despite not having Brock Purdy. It is almost as if all these years that Rob Brown has been saying Brock Purdy's fine, but he is not an elite top-notch quarterback. A lot of good quarterbacks could be made to look great on that football team is correct, because Mac Jones has now led that team to 4-1. So as it stands right now in the NFC, the Eagles lead the East at 4-1. As mentioned, the Commanders are 3-2. Dallas is 2-2 after the bye week. 2-2-1. I apologize. They were not on the bye. They had the tie last Monday against the Packers. They are 2-2-1. And the Giants are 1-4 after a loss to New Orleans this weekend. The Lions lead the North at 4-1. The Packers are second at 2-1-1 because of that tie with Dallas. The Minnesota Vikings are 3-2-0, and the Chicago Bears are 2-2. Down in the NFC South, the Bucs at 4-1, Atlanta 2-2, Carolina 2-3, New Orleans 1-4. And in the NFC West, which hilariously all of a sudden looks like the NFC West might be the best division in the NFC. San Francisco leads at 4-1. Seattle and LA are both at 3-2, and the Cardinals are in last place at 2-3. Their two wins over New Orleans and Carolina, respectively, have lost every game since then. So, looking at the leaderboard for the shortest odds in Vegas for the NFC champion right now, it is not the Philadelphia Eagles with the shortest odds, although it is a much tighter contest than it is over in the AFC for the top spot. The shortest odds in the NFC right now belong to the Detroit Lions, who are plus 375. The Eagles are now 4-1. The same distance from Detroit to Philly, 1-2, is from Philly to Green Bay at 2-3. Detroit plus 375. The Eagles 4-1. The Packers plus 425. Then we have our first major fall off. Down to plus 850 for both the Rams and the 49ers. 11-1 for the Buccaneers and Commanders. And then we had that drop off down to the non-contenders. Seattle is 20-1. Minnesota is 30-1. Atlanta is 40-1. The Cowboys are 40-1. The Bears 50-1. The Cardinals 80-1. The Panthers 20-1. The Giants 25-1. And my beloved New Orleans Saints 50-1 to win the NFC this year. So the AFC.
Is that the lowest odds?
Yes. In the league. It is the Jets, the Titans, and the Saints are all 50-1 to win their respective conferences. Not the Giants, but pretty much everybody else at this point. So, that being said, looking at the NFC, if Lonzo was to propose the same question to me about the NFC that he did the AFC, which is, here's $1,000, you have to make one bet on your AFC or your NFC champion. If you would have told me that 2 weeks ago, I think the answer would have been the Green Bay Packers. Because 2 weeks ago, the Green Bay Packers were my holy crap team of the week. The Packers look like they did not shift a gear. It looks like they got out of the Corolla and into an F1 car. I mean, they were just a buzzsaw. And then something happened. And I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on what happened. And in fairness, the game against Dallas was a good game. I understand that some of you, all of you except me, hate ties. I get it. But even if it did end in a disappointing way to you because of the tie, it was still a good football game. But it's also a Packer team that lost to the Browns the week before that. They were a buzzsaw, and they would have been my pick. And at plus 425, I thought there was a little bit of value there. Before the season, the Rams were my dark horse pick to win the NFC. I didn't take them to, but I said I wouldn't be shocked if they do. And by the way, is anybody but Puka Nacua the MVP of the league right now? Like, I know we've talked about Danny Dimes, and we've talked about Josh Allen, and all these other cats, but like, I think Puka Nacua has got to be the MVP of the league right now. Like, the Rams are where the Rams are because of Puka Nacua. The 49ers, like, I do not have any belief right now in the San Francisco 49ers. I know that they have stacked some wins. I know that they are making Mac Jones look like Tom Brady right now, but I also look at the wins that they have, right? They beat the Seahawks on the road, but that was week one. Week one results have some weight, but not a ton to me. They beat the Saints in week two by 5. Granted, they were banged up in that game, but like, yeah, you should. They beat the Cardinals by a point in week 3. Again, the Cardinals are fine at best. Like, they're finding some chemistry, but they're not there yet. And also, their head coach is just melting down on the sideline. And we'll talk about that maybe coming up later on in the show. They lost to the Jags, which, again, now doesn't look like it's a bad loss. But you lost to the Jags, and then you won by a field goal. You won on a field goal on the road at the Rams. But the Rams are kind of one of those teams that you're like, I don't know, man. Like, they got Puka, but outside of that, like, Matt Stafford doesn't look like that same guy at this point. I know they've had some injuries, but like, they just don't look like the team that I expect. I'm not saying they're done either. Like, I think the Rams are going to get better. We'll see. If you ask me right now, if Lonzo was to give me 1% of his weekly paycheck to put $1,000 down on a team out of the NFC, Zoe, talk me out of it being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. Like, talk me out of betting on Baker and the Buccaneers. Everything is clicking. Baker Mayfield's playing the best football in his career. They've got everybody back and healthy for the most part. I know Evans and Godwin, because they're ancient, are getting beat up and bruised here and there. But Amika Egbuka has been spectacular. Bucky's running the ball well. Defensively, they look like the Derrick Brooks days of bet. Like, talk me out of a $1,000 bet on Tampa Bay right now, because I am having a hard time finding a fault in this program other than I'm not a big fan of their head coach.
I can't talk you out of it.
Yeah.
I like how Baker's playing. You know, it could be Tampa Bay versus the Colts in the Super Bowl.
I mean, realistically, that's not even that.
Because we just don't know. We don't. There is no dominant team right now.
There's not. There's not. I mean, the Lions are at the top of the NFC, but they don't look dominant. Again, another team that's been kind of banged up, but like, that week one loss got hung on them. They've been good since then, but they don't look spread out dominant. Philly doesn't. Now I'm going to say this about the 4-1 Philadelphia Eagles. And I made this point a little bit earlier. I would like to expand upon it before we run to the break. The Eagles made a mistake this weekend, and it's the reason that they lost. The Eagles made a mistake against Denver in that last week we got the story that A.J. Brown was unhappy about his role in the offense. Makes sense. He's a wide receiver on a team that was running the ball 45 times a game. He was upset about his role on this football team. Posted a cryptic Instagram message, whatever. Nick Sirianni came out later in the week and was like, oh, it's not about us. Yeah, okay, dog. For sure. I get it. And then, late in the week, we got the story that the same was true about Devontae. Devontae Smith was upset about the role in the offense. And again, it makes sense. They are wide receivers on a team that wanted to hand the ball to Saquon Barkley 45 times a game. I am getting the impression, after watching the game and after listening to the post-game press conference and thinking more about the things that Nick Sirianni said last week, I think the Eagles came into this game wanting to be an aerial team to make Devontae and A.J. Brown happy. I think they changed their game to make their two wide receivers happy. You ended up having a situation where Jalen Hurts, good quarterback, good, not great, good. Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball 30 times. Saquon Barkley ran the ball 6 times. I don't care what team you put Saquon Barkley on. If you have Saquon Barkley in the background, you do not run it 6 times. And even if he was a little banged up, which I don't believe that he was, but even if he was a little banged up, still, in a game that is as closely contested, and in fairness, Philly looked like they had put that game put away and Denver kind of came storming back in the fourth, grind it out, and they didn't do that. So I think that you ended up in a spot where Nick Sirianni said, yeah, we know what our identity is, but we need to make our guys on the outside happy, so we are going to transform our identity this weekend to being a passing team so those guys can get their numbers, and it cost them their first loss of the season. I've got to imagine that if I'm Nick Sirianni this week, I'm going into the locker room, and I'm going, hey, AJ, hey, Devontae, we gave you your big week. We gave you the opportunity to be stars. We lost the game. So next week, we're running it 50 times again. And if that's a problem for you, I understand. We'll help you find a new team to play for at the end of the year. But, like, this is what we have to do. 4-1 is the odds for the Eagles right now. And I really think, as much as I'm loving Tampa, and Tampa would be the bet that I make right now at 4-1 because, again, an 11-1 return. If I bet $1,000, I'm making 11 grand back as opposed to 4 grand back with the Eagles. I do think the Eagles are going to return to being Philly. Are they boring? Yes.
How mad would people be if it's Eagles versus Chiefs in the Super Bowl again?
Very, I suspect. Very. Especially, you know, and I don't even think it would be the Eagles because I don't think people were disappointed in the Eagles last year. I think it would be this year's Eagles because, as Drew Brees said on the CBS show he was on a couple of weeks ago, they are boring. They tried to be electric this weekend. It cost them the game. They're going to go back to being a boring football team, or at least they should. But boring at 14-3 and going to the playoffs as a bye. Okay. Yes, call me boring while I'm holding the trophy. Call me boring while I'm getting million-dollar rings. Call me boring. I think they go back to be boring, and I think they're going to be just fine. So I would say the Eagles are still the front runner in this conference. I like the Lions. I just don't trust them not to turn into a hospital unit by the time the playoffs get here because of the Dan Campbell mentality. The only other team I really like that I'm like, this might be the sprinkle, is 11-1 on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are playing the best football they have played since Brady was there and won a Super Bowl.
Sprinkle is a good thing?
Sprinkle means you just put a little bit on it. Oh, not okay. Like a full unit bet, right? Okay. You give me $1,000, I'm putting $800 on the Eagles and $200 on Tampa Bay. All right, let's take a break. Back after this, we'll talk some more NFL. We got some more college football coming up. Got to get some baseball in here. And a very interesting NASCAR story that I'd like to talk about after this weekend at the Roval. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking a little bit of National Football League here in the third hour of the Rob Brown Show. Let you know, coming up in the next hour, I've got a couple of other sports stories that I would like to get to. In the next hour of the show, we will talk a little Major League Baseball. 2 games in the NLDS last night, and both NLDS series are 2-0. Milwaukee won both games in Wisconsin. So they will take a elimination game down to Wrigley Field. 2 shots on the road to put the Cubbies away in the best of 5. The LA Dodgers went on the road and took both away from Philadelphia in the city of brotherly love. They go back to Los Angeles, California, with elimination hanging over the heads of the Philadelphia Phillies. Over in the American League, both series are tied up at a game apiece, and we will address some baseball in the next hour of the show. I have a NASCAR story for you as well, because the over the last couple of years, the debate about NASCAR's postseason playoff format has been up in the air. It has been up in the air about whether we like the current playoff system or if we should go back, as Dale Earnhardt Jr. has openly requested a number of times, should we go back to where the season is the playoffs? There's pros and cons to both. The current model effectively creates a world where you get into these last handful of races, and the guys that are racing for a championship can have their championship dreams derailed by a team that's not in the playoff, by a driver, by a team that's not actively participating. And we have seen that play out a couple of times so far in this postseason. On the flip side, under the old format where the entire season mattered and it was just who got to the end of the season with the most points, we very regularly had seasons that ended where the last one, two races didn't matter. There was no way for anybody to catch up with the guy in the lead. So, like, the championship was won with two races left to play, but, like, nobody could win. Like, it was already out of commission. Well, NASCAR has an issue because a spotter yesterday doing a podcast admitted something that I think kind of helps make that decision of where I stand on the postseason format. We're going to talk about that coming up in the next hour of the show. And, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all because NHL hockey starts tonight, a triple header to get the NHL regular season underway. We're going to talk about the three games tonight. I'll give you some Stanley Cup predictions later on in the show. We'll talk about where the Carolina Hurricanes are to get this season started, a season with high hopes. We'll get that coming up a little bit later on in the show. But we do have some NFL stories that I would like to get to as we continue to talk about the AFC and the NFC and where it stands. First off, if you missed it last night, 31-28, the Jacksonville Jaguars finish off the Kansas City Chiefs. Trevor Lawrence had himself a night, a tutty through the air on 18 of 25 for 221. Also ran in a couple, including one where late in the game, with the game on the line, Trevor Lawrence stepping back into the pocket was stepped on. His foot was stepped on by his right guard. He stumbled to the ground. And then, if I may, this one time and one time only, like the absolutely elegant baby Giselle, or Gazelle. Giselle's Tom Brady's lady. That's a different thing.
No, she's not anymore.
Well, was Tom Brady's lady. Now she's some, what, taekwondo instructor's lady?
Apparently.
Hey, do your thing, young lady. I'm not here to judge. Like a baby gazelle, elegant as always, Trevor Lawrence stood up, then he fell down again, but then he stood up again, took the ball off to the left-hand side, was able to punch it in for the go-ahead touchdown. The Jags would ultimately win the game 31-28 over the Kansas City Chiefs, a football team that I told you at the beginning of the year is just further truth, as is Sam Darnold, as is Danny Dimes, as is Trevor Lawrence. Just further proof that sometimes it's a franchise problem. Sometimes it's a franchise problem. Sometimes you can hang what happens with a young quarterback coming into the league and his, let's say, though I disagree with this to some degree in the case of TL16, failure on the franchise itself. Yo, the reason that I picked Jacksonville to win the AFC South, and there were a number of them, and Brian Thomas Jr. is a very good wide receiver, and when that kid's head is screwed on straight, you saw what he can do last night. That sideline catch that he had that kept the Jags alive in that contest was art, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. You saw what that kid can do last night when his head is screwed on straight. Last night, we saw a bit of a coming out party for Travis Hunter. I did not have a question of whether Travis Hunter is going to be talented. We know he's talented. We saw it. The question was always going to be, is he talented enough to be what Jacksonville drafted him to be at number two overall? Is he talented enough that he can play both ways, even if it's a heavy slant one way, right? And again, I'm not saying the answer is definitively yes. I am saying he looked like it last night. Like last night was a bit of a coming out party for Travis Hunter. I think there's something to be said about what Travis Hunter did last night, both as a pass catcher and as a tackler last night. He had two solo tackles last night. Had, I think, two pass breakups in this game. And on top of that, again, like this is one of the, as somebody who watches game film because I don't have a life, as somebody who watches game film, Travis Hunter has been absolutely a key to the stats that don't show up in the newspaper column for Jacksonville. I'm talking about the fact that if you watch Jags games, quarterbacks are actively staying away from the kid, right? Like we used to talk about Revis Island back in the day. Well, the thing with Revis Island was quarterbacks still felt like they could challenge Darrell Revis in his prime. A lot of quarterbacks are just staying away from Travis Hunter right now because they know he can make the circus catches. That doesn't show up on the stat sheet. And so when people watch a Jags game and they just do not see or hear from Travis Hunter, they work on the assumption it is because he's not doing anything. That's incorrect. It's incorrect. He's removing guys from the game. Last night, with a couple of catches that he had and the couple of tackles that he had, I think he finally got to put on tape that he's actually a pretty damn good player. But the reason that I picked the Jacksonville Jaguars to win the AFC South this year and am feeling pretty, pretty good about it through five games is because I firmly believe that franchises can screw up franchise quarterbacks. And I don't know what we need more of in terms of evidence than this year. Baker Mayfield is 4-1. Sam Darnold is 3-2. Danny Dimes is 4-1. Hell, Mac Jones. Mac Jones, that's the other guy I was trying to think of. Mac Jones has got the 49ers at 4-1. Brock Purdy went down. Mac Jones stepped in. Everybody said, uh-oh, they're cooked. And all Mac Jones has done is all Mac Jones has done is win games. There's a host right now of quarterbacks around the NFL who played in bad franchises, who moved on to good franchises, and are successful. So, much like my optimism for the Carolina Panthers, much like my optimism was rooted in y'all we haven't seen nor heard from Dave Tepper. Maybe he got out of the way. Maybe the franchise got out of the way, and we will see the results of that on the football field this year. Now, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But I also think it may take some time to get the stank off to some degree. I look at Jacksonville, and I went with the same formula. When I was in Jacksonville, the butthole of America, TM. When I was in Jacksonville, you could not see or hear anything Jags related that did not have Shad Khan's fingerprints on it. You couldn't. The guy was everything that Dave Tepper was able or was, with a better mustache and a better PR organization running around him. Everything that Tep was to the Panthers, Shad Khan was to the Jags. Shad Khan got the hell out of the way. And now, fairness, I don't think it's because Shad Khan necessarily wanted to. I think it is because Shad Khan has bigger fish to fry than the Jags right now. They got their stadium deal done while they wait for their time to move to London. Shad Khan also owns one of the biggest soccer teams in the world. That is more important and more lucrative to him than the Jags are. Like, Shad Khan is in London running his businesses at this point. He got out of the way. And what did they do but go get a GM who is not beholden to Shad Khan, or at least doesn't look like he is so far? They went and got a head coach, as Dave Tepper did in Carolina. They went and got a head coach that took over and was able to, at a point when a lot of people thought Tampa was going to fall off after Dave Canales left to go to Charlotte, all Liam Cohen did was step into the role and have Baker Mayfield producing the exact same way that he did the year before and winning a division. Now, in fairness, maybe it's just Baker Mayfield, because if not, then the Buccaneers have developed an absolute picture-perfect and flawless system of finding and developing offensive coordinators because Baker Mayfield is still playing the best football of his career, arguably better football this year than he was the last 2 years, and the Bucs are 4-1, tied atop the top of the NFC leaderboard right now. But they went and got a guy who took over the Tampa offense, who kept it humming along at the same rate it was when the old guy left, who had Baker Mayfield playing career-caliber football. They brought him over. The old owner and the GM, who was a yes man, like Scott Fitterer was, all got gone, out of the way, new guys in, new blood. And my belief was 100% Trevor Lawrence is still a good winning quarterback who got saddled with a garbage franchise. A franchise that, and I can say this with maybe not certainty, but certainly confidence, a franchise that was run every bit as, if not worse, than the Carolina Panthers at their worst. During the run-up to and through the Urban Meyer era, the Jags were run every bit as incompetently as the Panthers were. And all that got hung on Trevor Lawrence. Oh, you know, he was a franchise quarterback. He would take them to the next level. You ever thought maybe some franchises won't allow themselves to be taken to the next level? Like, is it always the quarterback? Because, again, I would look at New England, who finally got rid of a lot of the crap that was left over from the hoodie years, trying to do it the hoodie way without the hoodie. They shed some weight. And yeah, Mac Jones was the sacrificial lamb. All that cat's doing in San Francisco is winning football games. Drake May steps in, a dude that I thought was overrated. They built the franchise to him, winning football games. Baker Mayfield. Cleveland said, you're not good enough, because that franchise was a disaster. He goes to Carolina. They said, you're not good enough. That franchise is a disaster. He goes to Tampa. They said, we're building everything around you. 4-1. Sam Darnold. Jets. Garbage franchise. Left. Carolina. Garbage franchise. Goes to Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell, a good franchise with a good head coach. Sam Darnold goes and earns a $100 million paycheck. He's in Seattle. What's he doing? Winning football games. You see what I'm saying? Like, all these guys. The litany of guys who have moved on from teams that we all agree with. We all know the Jets are a garbage franchise. We all know the Panthers over the past decade and a half have been a garbage franchise. We all know that, you should know, I covered them, the Jags are a garbage franchise. Well, they got rid of the garbage, the owner got out of the way, they got rid of the yes man GM, and they went in on, let's get TL16 some weapons. They got him his running back from college. They got a stud out of LSU, a stud, a Heisman Trophy winner out of Colorado, and would you look at that, just like that. Nothing else has changed. Trevor Lawrence didn't change. The team didn't change. The franchise got out of its own way, and just like that, Trevor Lawrence is 4-1 with a win over Patrick Mahomes. Maybe old Rob Brown knows what the hell he's talking about. Maybe. You know who does know what they're talking about? Lonzo. That's why he does the Sports Flash.
Just can't get past old Rob Brown.
Old Rob Brown!
Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars are 4-1 after a 31-28 win over the Kansas City Chiefs last night. Lawrence completed 18 of 25 passes for 221 yards, a touchdown and a pick, and ran 54 yards and a pair of touchdowns. In the MLB playoffs, the Dodgers took a 2-0 series lead with a second win in Philly, 4-2. Blake Snell went 6 innings with just one hit, striking out 9. The Milwaukee Brewers took both wins at home for a 2-0 series lead over the Cubs with a 7-3 win last night. All 7 Brewer scores were home runs. Rookie Jacob Mizorowski, got the win with 3 innings of relief. Atlanta Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos told the media that while the team hopes to find a replacement for manager Brian Snitker, the team hasn't conducted any interviews for the position. Because, you know, they got time, apparently. So they'll find one eventually, you know, whenever.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.